Ho-ho-ho! Today on Rewind Basement, the boys are going to talk about traditional movies that are considered Christmas movies, or maybe they're not. We want you to join the debate and let us know what you like and what you think is a Christmas movie or not a Christmas movie. We're talking about it all in here. Ooh, it's cold. That's why I'm wearing a jacket today. Welcome to a special holiday-themed episode of Rewind Basement. Today, we are asking the question, the perennial question, do they know it's Christmas time at all? And it's been a great debate over the many years. Is XYZ movie a Christmas movie or not? And there's hundreds of arguments. We'd love to hear your side. Are the movies that we discuss, are they Christmas movies? They're absolutely not Christmas movies, but we're going down the list talking about these movies that we think either are or have been linked as, and we're saying, no, they're not.
And we're also going to look at, do they have to be Christmas yes. movies? Do they have to take place during Christmas?
Right. Could it have been moved to a different right time of year?
Exactly.
So I'm Andy.
And I'm Joshua.
And we're looking forward to taking you on a wonderful Christmas ride through the winter wilderness.
A sleigh ride through the forest of cinema.
That's the forest of cinema, yes. All right.
Can we get any cheesier?
I don't know. Yeah, put some puppies and Santa hats running by.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Easy.
So the number one. We're gonna do the number one, right? This is the one everyone talks about. So
this is what kind of started the whole conversation.
Started the whole conversation. Many years ago, somebody was being kind of a Weisenheimer, right? I think Weisenheimer is the best term for this.
Right.
Somebody was trying to be a Weisenheimer and said, did you know Die Hard's actually a Christmas movie? And their criteria is it takes place over Christmas. There's ho-ho-ho jokes, Santa jokes. There's Christmas treats. There's lots of snow and skiing.
There is a lot of snow in the movie.
There is a lot of snow in the movie, even though it's in L.A. And so people said, it's a Christmas movie. And I think they're trying to be a Weisenheimer. They're trying to disrupt audience expectations.
Or just play around with the idea of a Christmas movie.
Right.
Christmas movies can be very schlocky, can be very saccharine, and this kind of flies in the face of it.
Right.
So maybe they're just trying to be like, see, it doesn't have to be Hallmark to be Christmas.
Right. You can enjoy Christmas time any way you want. One of the things I've noticed that other movies, looking at other movies that are not traditionally Christmas movies, but considered, Wizard of Oz. People talk about, every year Christmas we watch Wizard of Oz. I was like, that has nothing to do with Christmas. However, Wizard of Oz was mentioned in Christmas Story.
Yeah.
And so I think when they talk about it in Christmas Story, people are like, oh, let's also put on Wizard of Oz. But also a big deal about Christmas, the thing that makes Christmas its money is the nostalgia. Everything is a memory or a throwback or a legacy. Very rarely does something new come in and we've never, this is a wholly new tradition or event. Look at the music that we listen to, the specials that we watch. It's all about nostalgia and remembering what you did the last time. And that felt so good. So you're hoping to recapture it. And I think people have good times watching Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
With their folks. And they've come home later. They've got kids now, maybe. And it's like,
I've never associated Wizard of Oz with Christmas. Never watched it during Christmas time.
Okay.
Never even thought about it. And until you said something, didn't even know that was a thing. I mean, obviously, A Christmas Story, they talk about Wizard of Oz because it takes place around the time that the movie came.
And that was all this juggernaut.
But aside from that, never crossed my radar.
Here's another aspect to that. I remember distinctly growing up a lot of Wizard of Oz Christmas ornaments. And nowadays, with Hallmark, we've got hundreds and hundreds of pop culture Christmas ornaments, right? Any property that can be exploited has been miniaturized to be put on your tree.
Yeah.
But back then, that was not the case. Christmas ornaments were Christmassy.
Yep.
But I remember a lot of Wizard of Oz Christmas ornaments.
I don't remember that either.
Okay. So we're not putting Wizard of Oz on our list as the Christmas movie.
No.
But talking about how this association comes about.
Right.
So do you think Die Hard has to take place at Christmas?
No, I do not. the whole Christmas thing was he's going from New York to LA,
right,
to be with the family, the estranged family, Christmas time, blah blah blah. But I think you could have used any occasion for that. The other thing is, well, it's a Christmas party,
right,
and so the building was mostly empty because it's Christmas. Everybody went home.
People were there after hours.
But I think you could have had that being, you know, a very successful merger happened,
mm-hmm,
or product launch or whatever. And so they're celebrating that, or the retirement of their CEO. It could have been any of those things to get all the people in the tower. And John coming to LA could have been a graduation. It could have been a sweet 16 birthday. It could have been any number of things. So I don't think it needed to take place at Christmas time at all.
So it was a quirk, and then it came out, and then people started saying it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I agree that there's nothing about it that says this only worked because it was a Christmas
movie. Right.
Yeah. I do agree with that. But I will say, I think the fact that there was an after-hours Christmas party was the easiest.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get to, mm-hmm, why are a bunch of people in an office after hours, and why are there people that don't belong there necessarily? This was an easy one.
Yeah.
Didn't have to jump through too many hoops.
Completely agree. I think they did it because it was nice and easy. It was a perfect package under the tree.
Right. And there weren't otherwise that many Christmas visuals. There was the party decorations, maybe a tree or two in the lobby, but you're in LA, so you've got palm trees, warm weather.
Yep.
People were not bundled up. There wasn't snow on the ground.
Right.
So it doesn't fit some of those common popular images.
Do I look at it and go, yeah, sure, Die Hard's a Christmas movie? Yes. Do I think it had to take place at Christmas? Nope.
Nope.
Not at all.
Okay.
And I think they chose Christmas for the exact same reason. It was an easy lift.
Right.
Not lazy lift, but an easy lift.
Sure.
So.
Agreed. So the next one, this one also is not hotly debated as much as people go, oh, yeah. Or we want to debate that Gremlins, and that's why I'm wearing this shirt. Gremlins is a Christmas movie. It takes place at Christmas. People do like to link it to Halloween because it's scary monsters. It's a creature feature. It's a horror movie. People are getting killed and properties being damaged. And there's mischief.
But you can have Christmas horror movies, which we will get to
in a future episode,
which will be great.
Yes.
But anyway.
Anyway. But we were, my opinion, we were talking about this a little bit before the show. Gremlins would not have been as funny and maybe not as memorable if it had taken place any other time of the year. For me, the Joe Dante and Chris Columbus specifically wanted to put the horrors and the humor of the Gremlins against the saccharine, sweet Christmas presents and snow and snowmen and Christmas trees and Christmas presents, Christmas cookies. They really thought these little horrifying guys are more funny when it's juxtaposed against something that's a little bit, you know, elves and teddy bears and magic and things like that. I also think the greatest joke in the entire movie is the Do You Hear What I Hear? It's a Christmas song. There's no song that would have worked better than Do You Hear What I Hear? And when she's looking at the cocoons, and she's like, what is up with the cocoons? And then she hears, Do You Hear What I Hear? Which is like this, oh my goodness, the things are happening. It's foreboding. But it's hilarious because it's Christmas. So I believe Gremlins has to be a Christmas movie. It would not have worked without the juxtaposition.
I think that Gremlins could have taken place during another time of year. However, you would have lost a lot of your jokes.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been, there wouldn't have been as humorous of scenes. The caroling.
That's my favorite scene.
Yeah. That has to be Christmas, right?
Yeah.
You have to have that. And I think because of it's winter, it's Christmas, it's snow. So you get all of those extra jokes in there.
Right.
The snowplow and people being stuck and trapped because of the snow.
Right.
You lose a lot of that. So it would have been a very different movie. But I think Gremlins 2 proved that you could still have a movie.
Right.
Not at Christmas.
And that one juxtaposed Gremlins and mischief against the hubris of, you know, it's going to be a fun one. Auto automization, the hubris of excessive automation. How about that? Is that, am I close?
You're close enough.
I think close enough. They had too much stuff that did stuff. How about that? And corporate greed, right, and corporate lifestyle. And he wanted to kind of mush those two together. And so it worked great in that realm. So huge fan of Gremlins.
But yeah, it's a Christmas. Yeah. It has to be Christmas.
It has to be Christmas.
Like I said, you lose half the jokes and you just need it.
Right. We have some fun facts. One, the mom, Lynn Pelzer, I think, is also the mom from Back to the Future. Lorraine's mom. And so the fact that the Kingston Falls is courthouse town square covered in snow, and then in 1985 for Back to the Future, and then a year later, it's now Gremlins, and they brought her in as the mom in the kitchen with the knife and the microwave. Found that very humorous. That's one of my fun facts that maybe you haven't heard before. Maybe you have.
Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
All right. The next one, let's talk about Trading Spaces. Trading Places.
Trading Places.
Trading Spaces was a show on TLC.
It was. And then they're trying to trick me because every time I tuned in thinking of something really funny and it was not.
I don't think it needed to be around Christmas time.
Right.
Although I think it was used as an element to appeal to a kinder mindset.
Right.
Right. Jamie Lee Curtis's character might not have been as kind if it wasn't cold and Christmas and the holiday season.
Right.
Right. But I did like it's cold and Christmas in New York, and the big thing is the frozen orange juice.
Yeah.
Concentrate.
Right.
It's a commodities market. Florida, sunshine, California, sunshine.
Right.
And so they're playing with that.
And honestly, I do have the image of Dan Aykroyd in my head wearing the dirty
sandwich. Oh, then biting the fish through the beard.
Yeah.
Oh.
But other than that, it did not occur to me to think of it as a Christmas movie or classify as a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
But it's still fun.
Because that's a movie that for a long time, Comedy Central was playing that like all the time.
Right.
You see that year round.
Yeah.
So I don't notice it popping up more regularly around the holiday season.
Right. Is there something problematic in that movie? That they kind of like Revenge of the Nerds. We're going to talk about that in a future episode. So Trading Places have a problematic element that maybe they've had to.
I don't think so.
Okay. I know there's some language we don't use these days.
There's language, there's attitudes.
Yeah.
But the people with those attitudes get their comeuppance.
Right. It's not promoted as this is the attitude that you should have.
And if anything, it shows their ignorance and that ignorance as their downfall.
Right.
So, no, I don't.
We're okay.
I don't think so. I think we're okay with it. Yeah.
So before I bring up the next movie that I have on the list, we have now talked about movies that have to be a Christmas movie, movies that happen to take place at Christmas. I want to talk about a movie that also has to be a Christmas movie is Home Alone. Because on the bear outside, it's a Wile E. Coyote setup where someone's setting traps for a home invasion.
Psychopathic kid.
Right. And it's funny. Right? I feel like John Hughes had the intention saying, I want to make a Christmas movie that people watch at Christmas time. And I think it'd be funny if it's a kid defending his house against burglars. And you've got the Christmas wish, right? That's part of it.
Yep.
But I feel like, so where I would have enjoyed Gremlins if it wasn't at Christmas time, I don't think I'd enjoy Home Alone if it was just a random summer dumb comedy,
right,
with people getting hit in the face.
Right.
Yeah. But it's a Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie. And I don't think the scenario would have worked.
Right.
Right. Like if it's summertime and they're counting kids and everybody's in shorts and a t-shirt.
Right.
You're going to notice things. But right, when people are bundled up and you're just counting bodies in a car,
right,
or a van, it's easy to bypass.
Exactly.
And then, like you said, with the Christmas wish. And then there's a lot of cold weather elements as part of the traps.
Frozen stairs.
All of the stuff that
the heating element
wouldn't work.
Right.
So it has to be. And it's not just as a vehicle.
Right. So to be clear now, I think we've hit all spectrums. So I'm gonna bring up a movie that I brought up in a prior episode, at least once, that I think is definitely a Christmas movie. And I think more people should accept and watch at Christmas. And that is Young Sherlock Holmes, also written by Chris Columbus, who wrote Harry Potter, the first one.
Which is a Christmas movie.
Because it has Christmas elements. And so here's why I think Young Sherlock Holmes should be considered a Christmas movie. First off, there's snow. That's a biggie. Two, it takes place in Victorian-ish England over Christmas time. So Christmas occurs in the middle of the movie.
Okay.
But the people wearing the big top hats and the full-length ankle stuff and the
Charles Dickens.
This looks Dickensian.
Yes.
Out the wazoo. Okay. So you've got that Dickensian look. You've got the snow. It literally happens at Christmas. But here's the number one thing. Here's the thing that sticks it. They use a Christmas song as a horror element, just like Gremlins did, where it's on its own. It's just a nice choral singing. But in the movie, when the guy is being attacked, it's playing with a swell to it. And so a Christmas movie song, a Christmas carol, is being used as a horror element. And I'm like, I love that. So I've found out that most people in my life have not seen Young Sherlock Holmes. It did not hit in the theaters very well. It kind of picked up a cult following on VHS, but not as big as Fast Times at Ridgemont High or anything else. I made you watch it one time, right? You've only seen it because I said, Joshua, you have to see this movie?
Yes.
Yes. So the important thing is, like we said in the last episode, that it is very significant in the history of cinema. It was the very first freestanding CGI character committed to film. It's a great mystery. I love the mystery. I love the horror elements. It is the parts of it when you've got Victorian, Dickensian, British elements, and then you've got the Egyptian elements. Then you've got, there's street robbers, but there's also demons. Like, what? There's stop motion. There's inventions. There's a little bit of humor. I think it's a fantastic movie, and it's one that I do watch over Christmas. It is one of my Christmas ones. So give it a shot if you haven't seen it yet. And, gather the family around for licorice sticks and hot chocolate.
So let me bring up two movies that take place Christmas time.
Okay.
Where I think that people might not think about. Where I think Christmas was used as an emotional element. The holidays, there's a lot of feeling of depression and isolationism and things like that, right? And so I think these two take place at Christmas time specifically to tap into that mindset.
Mm, okay.
And that's Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
And Rambo.
Right.
These are two individuals who are kind of loners. They're dealing with a lot of mental issues because of things that have happened to them in the past.
Right.
And I think that on their own, taking place any other time of year, they would be just as good movies. I don't think you lose anything on the surface with these movies if they happen in the summertime, the spring, or whenever. But because it's holiday, it drives home that depression, loner, isolationism, emotions,
right,
that are rampant during this time of year.
Right.
And so I think because of that, to be the movies that they are, they had to take place at Christmas.
Okay. So you think if Rambo had nothing to do with Christmas, it wouldn't have been at like Rambo, or would it be?
It's taking place during the Christmas holiday.
Right.
There's very few elements that show that it's Christmas.
Okay.
There's the weather, and you see some little Christmas trees and stuff in the background. But it's a very, very tiny presence.
Right.
But it's dripped in there just enough to kind of plant the seeds in your brain.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah, I like that. So speaking of associations, did you watch, we didn't talk about this at all, this is clearly, did you watch Swiss Family Robinson when you were younger? The Disney live action?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't remember anything about it. I do remember watching.
They had Home Alone style booby tracks. But anyway, they're trying to show the passage of time on this island. And so they had figured out when Christmas was. So they're on a tropical island. They're there's nobody around. And so they celebrate Christmas. And they, like, I'm remembering real fuzzy here. Maybe a Christmas tree out of coconuts or something. Or they did something. Maybe they tied up some vines to make it look like a wreath. But I love how we all know what Christmas stuff looks like. And so it is a way to show the passage of time. Like, they got here in the summer, it's now Christmas, and that's been 5 or 6 months. But I also love that we want to participate in the celebration of the holiday season, even when we're isolated and far away. And so I think, to your point, if you can't be part of the network, if you are disconnected, if you are isolated, that can have a huge impact. And so I think subtly that really did come into the storytelling beats in both Rambo and Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
Let's do the flip side.
All right.
Yeah.
Another non-traditional film that I don't think you've seen, but you should, because it is one of my favorite movies. And it's definitely a good Christmas movie to watch as a non-traditional Christmas movie, and that's The Thin Man.
Oh, I have not seen Thin Man.
It's a detective story. It's film noir, but it's film noir with humor, not like slapstick Laurel and Hardy type humor, Three Stooges, but it's very witty. It's intellectual humor.
Right.
The dialogue between Nick and Nora Charles is absolutely amazing.
Okay.
And you don't get that a lot anymore.
Right.
But it takes place during Christmas. It's not a Christmas movie.
Right.
But because it's the Christmas time, they're throwing Christmas Eve parties. People are doing shopping. There's the Christmas elements without it being like, we've got to do this for Christmas. No, it's a murder mystery that's taking place during that time frame.
Right.
So it's peppered in there, but just the dialogue and the interplay between Nick and Nora. So good.
Okay.
Highly, highly, highly recommend it.
And I can refine this on our Letterboxd list. We have a Letterboxd list playlist of every single one of our episodes, and we mention all the movies. So if you're like, oh, that sounded like a good movie, but I didn't write it down or I don't remember, go visit our Letterboxd lists. They're usually posted in the description below, and you can find all these movies we've discussed. So I will make sure Thin Man is on that list, and then I will check it out when I have some time.
It's a whole series of movies.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, The Thin Man, it's the best.
Right.
But, it's great.
So using the criteria I said earlier, we got two movies left.
Nope.
We've done a really good job on our list. We talked about everything, plus one or two extras. We only have two left.
I put those on the list, so.
Yeah.
Stick it to the list.
You did.
last second. This just before we started recording.
Yeah, I see that. So this movie, I will say, is a Christmas movie. And then the next movie after that, I'm saying, is not a Christmas movie.
Okay.
So according to my criteria, which is Snow and...
I know where you're going.
Yeah, Elizabethan... Or not Elizabethan.
No.
Dickensian looks plus a Christmas song used as a horror element. Hateful Eight comes very close. So it's not Dickensian, but it's old West, right? So sure, put that in the basket. But Senor Bob does Silent Night on the piano to build a crescendo. And so you got the snow, you've got the isolation. It is about Christmas. Michael Madsen claims that he is just a regular cowpuncher heading home to visit his mom for the holidays. And so I love Hateful Eight. I look for excuses to watch Hateful Eight. It's close to 3 hours, so sometimes you really got to block that out. Maybe take a day off work or something, whatever you got to do. But I put Hateful Eight in the same Christmas column as Die Hard in that it's got enough elements. It doesn't have to be a Christmas movie, right? It could have been January. Could have been February. It could have been. And it's the same movie.
Has to be wintertime, though.
It wintertime, yeah.
Has to, because otherwise there's no reason for them to be stuck there.
Right. So it does have to be wintertime.
Yes. And if it's going to be wintertime, you might as well...
Might as well be around.
Add some of those little elements to kind of make it a little more...
And you know, maybe this is me, baggage that I'm bringing to this baggage to the thing is that because it's not yet Christmas, because it's not yet New Year's, there's a buildup, right? Like every year, there's a buildup to Christmas. Christmas hasn't happened yet,
right?
And the whole movie is this buildup for something's going to go down. We know this, but it hasn't happened yet. And so I think the fact that they've mentioned a couple times that it's the lead up to Christmas, everybody has that rubber band pulled back a little bit. And it's not a huge element, but it's one of the elements that adds a little bit of suspense to me. Like I said, maybe that's a little bit of baggage. There's always that like
rejection.
Because like once Christmas comes, once New Year's done, you're like, okay, right? No tension, nothing. I'm good, right? I'm coasted. But leading up to it, it's like, will I get all my work done in time? Will I get the presents in time? Will I decorate it? Will we, blah, blah, blah.
Too much headache and stress.
Right. So let it go. And I recommend watching Hateful Eight to do that. And so the last movie we have on the list has been categorized as Christmas movie, up for debate as Christmas movie, and that is Batman Returns, Tim Burton's sequel to 1989 Batman.
Okay.
Takes place over Christmas. There are lots and lots of Christmas decorations and snow and elements. Like there's Santa people, there's Christmas elves. Max Schreck is handing out expensive baubles, you know?
Yeah.
When he wishes he could be handing out, you know, promises. But I don't consider it a Christmas movie. I appreciate that Tim Burton did Christmas, right? We've seen Nightmare Before Christmas. And there's some, if you look at, watch Batman Returns and Nightmare Before Christmas, and you'll see a couple little throwbacks, Easter eggs, connections.
And that's, he's done Christmas before as well.
Edward
Scissorhands.
Right.
That's Christmas.
Which is, it could be Christmas, could be not Christmas.
There's snow.
There is snow. And I think the Christmas in that movie was included for the whole suburban atomic family.
Yes.
Nuclear
family.
Atomic.
Not atomic family. But yeah, no, it was done for the Christmas card look.
And everything looks a little nicer and there's snowflakes on it, things like that. So I personally do not consider Batman Return. I love Batman, right? Like I love Batman. I love 89 Batman. I love everything about Batman. And as somebody said, you know, Batman Returns needs a boost. Let's go ahead and categorize it as a Christmas movie. I'd vote for that. But honestly, it's
not. I'm not going to leave the charge.
I'm not.
If someone was like, this is a Christmas movie, you'd be like, all right, cool.
Gotcha.
But if they came to you and said, you're the sole decision.
Right.
You'd be like,
What? They'd be, or if more importantly, if they said, what's a Christmas movie that we didn't know was a Christmas movie? I have all my eggs in the young Sherlock Holmes basket. It needs it. It needs it. It needs to somebody to wave that flag. And so I'll do that. I'll wave that flag. So I do not personally believe Batman Returns is a Christmas movie.
Okay. I don't have a strong opinion.
Right.
One way or the other. It's been a long time since I've seen it.
It has.
So that's...
Whereas, and look, I'm not knocking it. When's the last time you watched 89 Batman?
About as long.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep. I watch 89 Batman, I'd say at least every 11 months. So just,
11 months.
Just over.
So about once a year.
But not once a year, but just over.
Because that would be excessive.
No.
Less than once. More frequently.
Frequently than once a year, but not, it's not a Christmas movie. Something will happen. And I'm like, God damn, I've got to watch 89 Batman. I did get to see it 2-3 years ago. It was an anniversary, 2019. How about that? That was the anniversary.
It was one of those anniversaries.
What
year was that?
American History Museum played it on the big screen for free, and they had some Batman prompts out. So that was great. No, we watched Lego Batman a couple years ago, and I was like, now I gotta watch the original. I purchased, I'm gonna put up some pictures of my, I've got a 2-foot-long Batmobile with a Batman that goes inside. And it's gorgeous. And so it's like when I'm painting, I had to paint it. I was doing photos of it and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, I got to watch Batman. So I watch 89 Batman more than once a year, but not on a regular schedule. But Batman Returns, I've watched like, okay, you know, maybe 6-7 years ago.
I mean, the best is, you know, Batman and Robin.
Oh. I was going to go the other way. I see 1966 Batman. Because you got that.
And the movie.
Batman the movie. Some days you just can't get rid of a box.
Okay. Two movies. The one that I was looking at, no, not even It was nice guys.
Yeah, no, I don't see Christmas in it at all.
It's at the very end, just to show passage of time. So but in Bruges.
Okay.
In Bruges, I think is probably Christmas time for the same reason as Lethal Weapon and Rambo.
Right.
For that separation, isolationism, loss type of thing.
Right.
So, yeah, could take. I mean, I think that one could kind of take place at any time, but I'm fine with people saying it's a non-traditional Christmas movie.
Okay.
Christmas-ish movie. The other one, Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah.
Eyes Wide Shut.
That's not what I want to sit down and watch with Grandma, though.
Bring the whole family together for that one. For the European cut of it.
Right.
Yeah. Not the American cut, the European cut. I don't think it needed to be at Christmas.
Right. Because the juxtaposition wasn't holidays. It was levels of society, well, right? And
it was
taboos.
It was levels of society, and it took place during the elements that were more Christmassy, aside from like the weather.
Right.
Was there were parties that they were going to. And so Christmas time, you have a whole bunch of parties you got to go to. And you feel like, oh, we got to go to this one this time and this one and this one.
Right.
So there was those elements. But I think you could have done that any other time of year.
Any other time.
But maybe it's for, the same reason. So it's not really because of the holiday, but because of the feeling left out and alone, which is Tom Hanks's character to a T.
Wrong!
The FOMO of, oh, they got a great gift. I didn't get a great gift. Well, all these people are having great gifts.
Right.
And he wants those gifts as well. Only they're not great gifts.
No. Those are our thoughts on movies that are considered Christmas or not Christmas, but have been debated as such. And we'd love to hear from you in our comments section. Let us know that we're terribly wrong, we missed something big, or that you agree, or that you have a newfound love for something like Young Sherlock Holmes.
But don't come at us with things like Little Women or Love Actually.
Right.
Like that. Those are clearly Christmas movie.
Correct.
Here's the question. Nightmare Before Christmas. Is that a Halloween movie or is that a Christmas movie? When do you watch it?
Typically, I watch it at Halloween because this is Halloween, right? Is the soft. I see it as a Halloween movie because when the movie begins, Christmas hasn't happened yet. If you wait and watch Nightmare Before Christmas at Christmas, you've missed Halloween. You've put those decorations away. You are not indulging in that spirit right now. So you've got This Is Halloween as the opening song, but Christmas is in the title. I mean, this is a long debate. There's only one way to solve.
No, I've got the perfect solution.
Watch it both.
I watch it both times.
Yeah.
Most of my Halloween decorations don't go away.
Right.
They stay up year round. And so I watch it Halloween for the Halloween aspects of it. And I watch it at Christmas for the Christmas aspects of it.
Right.
Because it is both.
True.
And
that's how I feel. I love Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes.
What's your favorite character for Nightmare Before Christmas?
Zero is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
I love Zero. Sally's great.
Mm-hmm.
I like the vampires.
Yeah.
They're fun.
Yeah.
Of course, was it the sax player?
Mm-hmm.
Like, nice moves, Bone Daddy.
Yeah.
You know?
I say Bone Daddy. Like, if you go to Suncoast Pictures and they have all the action figure.
Oh, right. So which one would I?
You can only buy one, right?
You can only buy one. I think I would, if they had a Zero, I'd probably get Zero.
Okay. I love the Mad Scientist. And his action figure had a foot top skull with a little squishy brain. Yeah.
Professor Finkelstein.
But he had a squishy brain.
Yeah.
Now I'll say
this. Only half a squishy brain, I think.
And only half a squishy brain. At the end, when I was younger, when I first saw it, I found the mayor to be so annoying and so obnoxious. Also voiced by the actor that did Otho in Beetlejuice. However, as I'm older and I have to deal with politics against my will, I find the duplicitousness and the twisty face and the whininess and the ineffectuality. Very funny.
That
and
wasn't really a caricature of politicians. It was a real life portrayal.
Right.
A lot of politics.
And so that's one aspect when I was younger, I was like, yeah, get this guy off the screen. Sure, he's obnoxious. I get it. Whatever. But now I'm like, yeah, that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
And if I go to Suncoast Pictures, man, how much would you kill right now to go to a Suncoast Pictures? Fully stocked, right? I'd love to go to a Suncoast Pictures and buy the mayor with the flippity face.
It would make me think of, who was it from He-Man? Two-Face? No,
yeah.
Not Two-Face. Was it Two-Face? No.
No, there was Man-E Faces.
Man-E Faces. That's what he had. Man-E Faces. Because you could spin his head around. Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Love Man-E Faces. So I'm going to butcher this a little bit, but why not? The moon is out. The spirit's bright. We're simply having magical penis wine. I've had that song stuck in my head since my son sent me that meme. It's the only thing I have playing right now, and it's driving me bonkers.
And it's been stuck in my head all day, too, because you didn't even play it for me. You showed me the picture.
So now our pain is your pain. Enjoy.
Menomina.
Oh, that's a good one. Want to keep the Christmas conversation going? Visit our friend's channel, Christmas Aficionado, for more Christmas fun all year round.
Ho, ho, ho! So, that's what we think. We want to know what you think in the comments below. And if you want to be on the good list, not the naughty list, make sure to hit that like and subscribe. Oh, no! Not again!